A film about the breakaway region of Transnistria won the Best Czech Documentary Award at the Jihlava International Documentary Film Festival 2012. The movie Fortress by Lukáš Kokeš and Klára Tasovská follows last year's presidential elections, which ousted Transnistria's leader of 20 years, Igor Smirnov. At the same time, it offers an insight into the lives of ordinary people in the internationally unrecognized country located on a strip of land east of the river Dniester between Moldova and Ukraine. Jan Richter reports.
Many wanted change, says an ominous voice in an election campaign clip for Transnistria's longtime leader Igor Smirnov. Did they succeed? Asks the voice, followed by footage of rallies, riots and police commandos. The clip ends with the slogan, Igor Smirnov, stable changes. This is one of illustrative moments in the award-winning Czech documentary film Fortress, a study into the life in the obscure country of Transnistria. I spoke to one of the film's directors, Lukáš Kokeš, and asked him why he chose to make a movie about this little-known region.
The main reason why we went there was a simple fascination by the existence of unrecognized country on European territory, and the fact that none of our friends knew about the existence of this country.
Why did you call it a fortress? Is it a fortress in the sense as communists' last stand in Europe, or what did you mean by the name?
Fortress is a symbol of a closed space. When we chose the title Fortress, we were thinking, for example, about ice hockey, where you have a strictly bordered area where the play goes on. And the Transnistrian country is such a playground, ice hockey playground for us, where you can play a game, but you cannot cross the playground. So that kind of fortress was on our mind when we were shooting there and afterwards when we were editing the film.
What was your basic approach? It seems to be a political documentary because most of the people spend most of their time in the movie talking about politics. Of course, you follow a political event, which is the 2011 presidential elections, which ousted the president Igor Smirnov there. But it doesn't really feel political when you compare it to some other activists, let's say, or political focused documentary. So what was your basic approach?
From the beginning, we knew that we don't want to shoot a political reportage or a human rights film. Because that's not our approach, that's not the kind of films we are interested in. So we knew exactly what we didn't want. And then we decided to use kind of cinematographic language to describe this country. But we knew that it's not enough, that we need to give the audience some information about the territory, some information about the regime, about the system where the people inside Transnistria are living. So we were just looking for harmony between information and emotion. Transnistria is a very photogenic country with strong atmosphere. We were focused on this atmosphere, but at the same time we were looking for pregnant information who would describe the system in that country. So at the beginning it was like a denial of political reportage method, and we were looking for atmospheric and cinematographic images inside that country. And afterwards at the editing room we were looking for the right proportions between politics, information, and between images, atmosphere and emotions at the other side.
How do you work with your co-directing partner, Klára Tasovská? Do you discuss everything? Do you do everything together and talk about it? Or do you have different roles in making the movie?
It is good to describe why we decided to make it together. We didn't get this permission to shoot in Transnistria. So we had to work kind of illegally there. And that was also the main reason why we went just the two of us there. Klára was making the sound and I was operating the camera. We made a film together before, And we discovered that we understand each other in terms of aesthetics of the film, in terms of what we find interesting in reality. Me or Clara, neither. We don't make like reportage-style films or question-based documentaries where the director is asking all the time questions and people are forced to answer them. We share the same method, which is more observatory, more cinematographic, and that's why we decided to work together, because we simply understand each other.
Speaking of politics, of course, some of the people you talk to in the documentary called the regime controlled democracy. One person called it a little Afghanistan in the heart of Europe. But you witnessed an election that ousted the leader that was there for 20 years. So do you think you saw a change? Do you think you saw some kind of transition?
I must say something has changed after the new president was elected. When we were waiting for the result of the election, some of the people told us, we are a little bit afraid that Smirnov will not leave the country just like that. Maybe there would be some armed, violent acts. We can imagine it. And we were kind of expecting this violent scenario. And then the new president was elected and nothing really happened. So we were kind of surprised. But in the air, we could feel relief. The people were happy, really. They started to talk freely. When we were interviewing them, we could feel a change in their minds. Before, when Smirnov was in charge, they were scared and they didn't want to say really what they were thinking. But after the election, they started to express their opinions freely, and the fear which was in the air before kind of evaporated, disappeared. So that was the main change we experienced there. But at the same time, I have to say that this change was expected. There were informations that Russia and Moscow doesn't want Smirnov to continue leading this Transnistrian country. So we knew that Russian politics had a different scenario for the Transnistrian region, and maybe that Shevchuk, the new president, is a part of this scenario. And the elections confirmed this scenario, this Russian scenario. So I think Shevchuk, the new president, is just another leader who is supported from Russian politicians, but at the same time he has more democratic face. It's maybe we could compare it to the Czechoslovak Prague Spring situation in 1968. That kind of communism with human face is now in Transnistria. We cannot call it communism anymore, but it's oligarchy with human face, maybe.
Coming back to the aesthetics, you mentioned that you were trying to find the right mix between the political message and the aesthetics of it. You have some very powerful and strong images of what Soviet Union might look like today if it hadn't collapsed 20 years ago. For instance, the guard exercise during the national anthem was an image that's definitely worth seeing. You were 6 years old when communism collapsed in Czechoslovakia. So how did you feel looking at those parades, at the aesthetics?
I think it's not a question of this military parade, but we were in a situation in Transnistria when we were shooting on the street and suddenly came a secret policeman towards us and he asked for some permission which we didn't have. And he told us, okay, without this permission you cannot make a film, you cannot shoot here in Transnistria. So now you will go with me to our office, there will be interrogation. And we were arrested and we were forced to go to some KGB office, because the secret service nowadays is called KGB. It's like in the old Soviet times. And there we were in a small room with secret agent who was asking us questions like, who did you spook with? Who gave you the telephone number of this guy? Where did you meet? What were you talking about? questions like that. At this moment, I was thinking about communism in our country, about secret police investigations, about dissidents who were interrogated exactly that way as we were in Transnistria. And that was the moment where I was thinking, yes, it's exactly like in the old times when you just couldn't do what you wanted without thinking about the consequences.
Are you hoping that your documentary will be also screened in Tiraspol or in Transnistria? Or have you heard from people? Is there an interest there?
We were collaborating with Ivana Skálová, who is working for People in Need, and People in Need has some programs in Transnistria. One of the programs is documentary film screenings. There is a small club in Tiraspol, which is the capital of Transnistria, and every year they organize screenings of documentary films there. So I think our film will be one of the movies on the program of this small club. And next year, I think we will show it in Tiraspol, and we will show it in Chisinau, which is the capital of Moldova. Now, there is interest by international documentary film festivals in Europe who are very interested in this film. So after the screening on these major festivals, we will go to Moldova and Tiraspol.